I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The rising sun that fills the sky, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Everton host Leeds and Spurs go to Chelsea in the Prem. It's Friday, 27th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Divisional Hunter Raja.
Setting his alarm for the intro music again.
I've never seen someone look so surprised when someone looked at them.
I don't know why I do that.
Marcus was at the very limit of what the production team will expect and accept on how quick one man can talk and it still be listenable to the listener.
Squeezed it in. It was like you were kind of having a little nap, but you were, no, I'm not sleeping.
I think I was a little bit.
Yeah. Benefit two in a hunter, Raja, what?
I had a like that viral video when everyone's clapping in that theatre and that guy's asleep and just wakes up and starts clapping.
I have had a bit of a late night. I was at Spurs yesterday.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then I had to write something afterwards.
Yeah. And that's just your job, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. Yeah. I was basically doing my job.
He was updating his blog. That's why he was so.
Where are the claps for me on a Thursday?
Frontline worker.
I was applauding you, Vish. As I always do.
You do, actually, yeah. You're very encouraging.
He's a cheerleader, Marcus. Yeah. Very, very, very effective cheerleader.
Stooge.
It was a very special episode of On the Continent yesterday, guys.
Yes,
as you can probably imagine. Well, I'm sure you know because you would have heard it. Mm. Dotton and Andy were joined by Lars this week to look back on Diego Maradona's iconic relationship with Naples and its people. I thought they summed it up brilliantly well. We visited Naples and we've seen just what El Diego means to the people of Naples, and I thought the guy summed it up brilliantly. He obviously wasn't just a great player for Napoli, he was also their warrior, standing up for the South against the North and all that good stuff. It's well worth a listen, yesterday's episode, because Lars also unpacks Bodo Glimt's extraordinary league title in Norway, which has all sorts of cultural significance in Norway's own North-South divide as well. So there's plenty more besides. To get all that, head over to Football Ramble Presents and subscribe in your podcast app. Just search Football Ramble Presents wherever you get your podcast to listen to Dotton, Andy and Lars.
Mm, I mean, yeah, I know a lot of people have spoken about old Maradona, the late great Maradona, of course. And, you know, we will talk about a little bit of Europa League action and preview Premier League. But, yeah, you mentioning that. I mean, the scenes in Naples, was it last night, I think, when they sort of lined the streets and so on. It feels weird without Maradona. A chap called Michael tweeted me just saying that I almost believed that these men were sort of almost immortal, if you see what I mean. And that's true, isn't it? That they have that kind of status. And also, Luke, you tweeted as well, it just, you never thought he was born or going to die, sort of tapping into that. You just thought he'd always be there.
Yeah, it's like I said to you, Mark, it's kind of like imagining Bruce Forsyth as a young man. It doesn't feel right. Do you know what I mean? Maradona kind of always, to me, always just is.
Yeah.
And now he isn't. And it's a strange feeling. Mm. And, you know, as I mentioned, you can see what he means to the people of Naples. It's hard to think of a more singular figure.
Yeah.
Related to one club. I mean, you could talk about the great teams of the years and the great clubs, the biggest clubs in the world. But
Steve Bull and Wolves.
Yeah, that's up there, probably. Yeah, I'd say. Yeah, that famous Darren Anderton season at Portsmouth would come to mind. No, but I think, seriously though, I mean, what an impact on the game. And I think the guys summed it up brilliantly yesterday. But one thing I'd like to add is just that some of these obituaries that talk about he was this amazing player, this and this, but he was also this. Like, what they don't understand is to a lot of people, the flaws within him as a character are why people relate to him, are why people kind of react to him and can kind of understand him. Because to be an amazing football player isn't new. To be a world-class football player isn't new. It's happened before and it will happen since. He was up there, head and shoulders, you know, part of the conversation, as Tiger Woods would say, about, you know, the very best players can only ask to be part of the conversation of being the best player ever. But his flaws and his drawbacks and his, you know, imperfections are kind of what made him what he was. And that's why he's so relatable. And, you know, I can remember being a kid, 9 years old, going into World Cup 90 and always hearing about Maradona over and over again, all the time, because of what happened in 86. And he was such a big deal. I can remember thinking, it'd be great to actually see him do something. And I was obsessed with the World Cup, with the 1990 World Cup, as Marcus, as you know. And I can remember Argentina played Brazil in a massive game. I think it was a second round game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Maradona's best tournament, World Cup 90, of course, because 86 had come before it. But there's an amazing moment in that game against Brazil where he holds off a couple of Brazilian players and plays a ball through the legs of a Brazilian midfield player into the path of Caniggia, who then goes and scores. Mm. And for me, that was the Maradona moment I wanted.
It was against the run of play. In Argentina, that victory is cherished because it's a proper smash and grab job.
Right. Well,
Brazil as well.
For me, that was a moment I actually watched and I thought, right, I can actually see this now. It wouldn't even probably be in the top 10 things he ever did.
Yeah.
But like, for me, that was like, right, now you've got some ownership of Diego Maradona because you've seen him do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was... I suppose he was slightly before my time, so I've never actually watched him play live. And, you know, I was born in 1986, but my dad grew up in Sri Lanka. He's a huge football fan and he was a huge Maradona fan. And it's one of those things that when you grow up and get into anything, really, you find out about its limits, both the bottom and the top. And invariably, when it comes to sport, you're told of these are the people, these are your Greek gods. You know, you've got your Zeus, you've got your Hades. And that was Maradona and Pele, you know?
Yeah.
And I've really, you know, even just talking to my dad and even actually family in Sri Lanka about it, the fact that he permeated over there in a pocket of, you know, in an island just off the northern tip of Sri Lanka, he had, you know, imitators, people who wanted to be Maradona in the street, there people who wanted to be Maradona in sporting teams and things like that. I also think there's a little, one of the things about Maradona that is going to stand the test of time, and I was at the Spurs game yesterday, as I've already said, and Mourinho talked about how he showed his son videos of Maradona so that he could then tell his son about Maradona.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And there's, I don't know if you've heard of the Godzilla complex, and basically it's the fact that whenever they make a new Godzilla film, Godzilla gets bigger every time.
Right.
Because what we see is, as imposing, is kind of, you know, when we look back at old footage, for example, of old Godzilla films, it doesn't look quite right.
Godzilla's only about 5'7".
Yes, exactly. But with Maradona, when you see some of that old footage, you recognise a great of the game. Mm. And it's the fact that you can even see that now, obviously people talk often about that 1986 World Cup, but generally go and watch him in that, clips of him in that World Cup. He is phenomenal.
Well, I think the final in particular, I remember watching the final years after, obviously, because I was only four at the time, but he gets kicked all over the place by the West Germans and by the English in the quarterfinal and so on. But it is phenomenal footage, really. But I think what you're saying here is it's important to know certain touch points in history. Of course, if you're a certain age, you don't have to look back. It's almost a bit like when you first start properly sort of getting into music. You need to know, I don't know, the Beatles and the Stones or whatever. You need to know certain touch points. Not everyone, of course, but the absolute standout ones. But for me, Maradona, I was utterly intrigued by by post-playing career Maradona as well. And I think that that's where that kind of... When you say the relatable stuff, I know what you mean, but actually I can't relate to half of the things he does, or did rather. And a lot of the things he did were quite deplorable, you one might say. But that doesn't mean to say that you like that and endorse that. But it does mean to say you might be utterly intrigued.
But it makes him a human being.
It does make him a human being. And also, if you think about the other greats of the game, what they do is they go, and this is no criticism at all, but they go sort of maybe behind the velvet rope a bit, or they become ambassadors, and you only see them in certain capacities. Maradona was taking jobs at, like, lower league Mexican side, you know, or he was managing Dubai. You know, Maradona is the type of hero and legend of the game that you could have just, like, walked past on the street, or you could go to a match in when he was managing in Dubai. You're sat there with about 500 fans and you can shout his name. You can't do that. You have that side of Maradona, which I find intriguing as well. And I implore anybody to watch that thing where he went to manage in, you know, Dorados in Sinaloa in Mexico. And actually, the way he inspires, it encapsulates him quite perfectly. He's an utter liability. You can see the chairman tearing his hair again. He was meant to be here 2.5 hours ago. He was meant to take training the last 3 days and he didn't turn up. But when he turns up, the way he inspires that team.
Well, the guys were saying it yesterday, either on the Ramble or OTC, I can't remember, but they were saying that where he inspires this kind of kid who comes from a pretty difficult background. And you should, for all his flaws, which I don't think, which don't detract from him as an icon of the game at all, in my personal opinion, but for all his flaws, you can definitely you can definitely make an argument that he was always a man of the people. So the fact that he got all this wealth and all this fame, for some reason, probably because he just had an amazing common touch because of the background, because of the personality he was always seen as an icon. He was never seen as someone who left his background or left his people. And this is a great example of him. He talks about how he met the Pope or whatever. And he said to the Pope, well, you talk about helping kids, you're helping poor people and stuff. Well, why don't you start with this roof? You know, get all the gold off this roof. That'll be a good start. And the idea of someone saying that to the Pope is of someone who's got a foot firmly back in the camp of this is where I've come from.
He says, "Only gold paint, mate."
You do know I'm not the Pope.
This is a fancy dress party.
That's the sun, mate. Well, the thing about him being a man of the people rings true, especially so in his politics. But also, if you look at the way that people who know him a lot better and know his story a lot better than I do, were talking about how he was great at keeping in touch with the people he played with, the people who didn't have the fame that he had. That, you know, he was very much seen as that sole leading light in 86, but he never forgot who helped him along the way. And also, he was a very generous teammate on the field as well. You know, there were loads of clips of him doing brilliant things, and a lot of, you know, he'd probably have a lot more assists if he played with, you know, people of his level. But
when you're 20 years ahead of everyone else, though, it's difficult. You can't really blame people for that.
And I think the other aspect of him being a man of the people was that he played football in the way that he figured everyone wanted to be played, and he tried to live life that way as well. And that fundamentally was his downfall. But still, he did so in a way that a lot of people, beyond the reprehensible stuff, could respect, because he tried to do everything, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think just to finish on this chat before we move on to the action from last night and so on, was that Tim Vickery said it quite nicely, because when we say he's a man of the people, some people might say, well, hang on a minute, but look at the way he acted, or look at the way you know, he lived his life. And he said, who did Vickery compare it to? Was it Caesar? I think one of the Julius Caesar in Rome would have somebody almost telling him constantly, you're not a god, you're not a god, to try and keep his feet on the ground. And he said the problem with Argentina, he had too many people walking around to him going, you are a god, you are a god. And to kind of match that up with the sort of rags to riches story was incredibly difficult, but I did like that story that the great Liam Gallagher said Maradona, where he said he was ever on tour, and anyway, they're in this bar and Maradona was in the sort of the VIP bit, and he's like, oh, can we go and meet him? And he goes up there and he said it's just As to quote Mr. Gallagher himself, there was ladies of the night everywhere and there was all sorts of stuff going on. And he said, Maradona's in the centre of the room doing keep-ups with a bottle top. And Liam Gallagher went, let's get a picture and get out of it. It's a bit moody in here. Yeah. Now, what on earth was going on in that room that Liam Gallagher was like, no, I don't fancy this.
Yeah. I'm out with depth here.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Gone, but never forgotten.
Yeah, legend of the game and legend of this show as well. We used to talk about Diego a lot, as the guy said yesterday, and there's a good reason for
that. And we thank him because he gave us lots of material over the years.
And lots of joy, brought a lot of joy to everyone's life, didn't he?
Indeed, yeah. Well, gentlemen, the Europa League did happen. It seems a bit of a drop-off now as it goes to the Europa League.
You've got Luna Goretz written here.
But Spurs did play some nice stuff. And Carlos Vinicius got his first two goals for the club. And talking of assists, Dele Alli's assist for, was it his second goal? Was a nice one where he could have smashed it in himself and squared. It's a very pleasing assist, Vic.
It's like a FIFA goal, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a bit, yeah. Mourinho was particularly effusive about that, saying that he's a very unselfish player, that he gets it. And I think it was quite important because it was his first start since the defeat at Antwerp, which was the 29th of October. So it took us a month without even making an appearance on the field in any meaningful way. And he looked a little bit rusty, to be fair, Dele Alli. But he contributed those two assists. That's a little bit fortuitous, yeah.
Yeah, but good to get that moment, though, because you're right, you're a bit rusty and so on, but that actually the fans do see that. So there's something to hang your hat on there, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, Ndombele, for example, played very well yesterday. And I wonder if he's an example that Dele Alli can look at and realise that, you know, if you do feel that you're put in the cold by Mourinho, there is a way back in.
Yeah.
And that really, you know, yesterday he certainly seemed to take his opportunity, or at least show willing to come back in, yeah.
With the obvious caveat, they weren't up against much.
Yeah, they're the trash.
Luka Goretz have been appalling.
Get them back to Bulgaria and stay there.
Yeah, and it's the first time I've seen for a long while, and I'm sure there's many people out there who can think of another example of this recently, but I can't, a team not having a single shot in a game. I mean, Spurs had 24 shots and Luka Goretz had zero. And... you know, so with the caveat that they weren't up against March, as I've said. Apart from, though, an intriguing midfield player who I'd never heard of before, called Anicet Andrianantinana, who is the only player I think I've ever come across. He's from Madagascar.
Oh, right.
Playing midfield for Luka Goretz, which is interesting. But anyway, all that preamble out of the way, I thought Ndombele was outstanding. I think we're starting to see now this quality of player that everyone was getting excited about when he was over in France, and Andy wouldn't shut up about him for ages. But that's not atypical of an Andy Brassel kind of set of behaviour. But I mean, clearly the guy is a bit special. Great for Vinicius to score goals. Harry Winks with a Halley's Comet.
Yep.
Nice to see. Didn't mean it, but
I'm glad he said that as well.
Yeah.
Because clearly, if he'd have gone, well, you know, I just floated it in there and saw the keeper off his side. His reaction and everything was like, yeah, no, I'm as surprised as you lot.
I was thinking, Harry, you hadn't scored in 2 years, mate. Claim it. But look, given that Spurs made changes and that they haven't got a crowd there, is it maybe that did help them in a way? Because if you, not that this game was like that, but we've all been at games where you think, okay, this is a game you should win, and the crowd start to get on the team's back and it starts to get difficult and chances aren't being taken and people aren't taking risks. You never really get any of that in modern football because of the no fans thing. But anyway, they made a lot of changes. They still look great. They're a serious proposition this season. Tottenham in a number of trophies. And this game against Chelsea this weekend is massive for that reason, and for Chelsea's side of reason.
We should mention that Dane Scarlett came on or played and was the youngest player ever to feature for Tottenham.
16,
Hotspur, which is incredible.
What did he look like, Vish, when he came on?
Really small.
Yeah, okay.
A child.
Yeah. And that's you saying that.
I know. But now we're expecting that he'll get bigger. Like
he will.
Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Every year.
Harvey White featured, and Alfie Whiteman was subbed on for Joe Hart.
I mean, that's a piss take, isn't it?
That is a piss take.
Sub goalkeeper.
Yeah. I think that's a piss take for Joe Hart. He's thinking, come on, I'll have a start. Give us 19.
I've had a great game here. They had no shots. Literally, they've had no shots. You can do whatever you want.
Absolutely
not. He would have had a sore throat. He was shouting so much.
He did shout a lot, yeah.
He's always been like that, though.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, with the crowd, you hear it. But I feel like he was doing it more because he just had to remind people he was there.
Also, you're a cricket expert, Vish, and a lot of videos have been released of Spurs playing cricket this past week. Joe Hart's apparently got minerals.
He does, yeah. He used to be on Worcestershire's Academy.
I liked him putting in some short stuff.
Yes.
Putting some chin music. I mean, they're only using the tennis ball, I think. But, I mean, even so.
Left arm option as well. He was actually playing, I think it was England-Sweden in 20... When was that? You're good with...
2009?
No. Was it 2016?
You're talking about the...
Oh, yeah. What, the World Cup? Played him in the second round.
Yeah.
Oh, 2018. Oh,
quarter final.
The quarterfinal. He was playing cricket on that day.
Oh,
was he?
To get his mind off
that
it,
was a long, confusing build-up for...
It was.
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely
like
right.
A dithering old fool.
Don't worry about it. You're in good company here, mate.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Spurs are away to Chelsea, though. It seems unlikely that Joe Hart will start that one. but they're away this weekend.
Well, listen, clean sheet last night.
Yeah.
You can't do any more than that, really.
Yeah.
He's asked a question of the manager, and that question will emphatically be answered on Sunday afternoon.
I think it's one of those questions that Mourinho will say, "I don't need to answer that." Do I? Poor old Joe. But but Chelsea host Spurs, an intriguing one. I mean, Lampard, I think, got the better of Mourinho, didn't he, last season?
Twice in the league. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so it's a good omen. But Spurs this season, Vischer, a slightly different prospect. Are we going to see that type of performance that we saw against Manchester City, sort of sitting off Chelsea and let them have the ball and hit them on the break? Chelsea are a different side to Man City, of course.
They are. They're at the time of recording, a much better attacking side than Manchester City. I think they will do try and do exactly the same thing they did to Manchester City last week. But it was interesting in the build up to that Manchester City game. Charlie Eccleshare, who's the Athletic Spurs correspondent, was talking about how Mourinho was quite wary of Raheem Sterling, mm-hmm. because he figured that Raheem Sterling, his movement in particular, could find whatever issues there were with Spurs' system. And obviously Raheem Sterling didn't start, so that wasn't necessarily a problem. Timo Werner, though, would offer a similar kind of threat. Likewise, I think Hakim Ziyech, who, if Chelsea's system isn't particularly functional, he's someone who can almost, rise above it and create something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, those two will present different prospects. I know Werner's having a bit of issue with his finishing in particular, but I think if you look at everything else he does on a pitch, I think he's someone in particular who can actually really hurt Spurs if they're not absolutely on it.
Yeah, but it seemed odd, though, the game the other day, whenever it was it in Europe, when Werner missed those chances. That seemed like an anomaly to me.
Well, he missed quite a big chance last weekend as well. I think it's just one of those things that he would just click into gear. You're a goal scorer, Marcus. You know how these things go.
Yes. Not since primary school.
You can go both ways, Marcus.
Yeah. I lost
and
it.
Stronger than he looks.
Lost it at primary school. Never got it back. But my goodness, what a year or two it was. At 10 years old. Interesting. You're going for Werner, not Werner.
Yeah. Vish has got a long story history with names.
Yeah.
Which is ironic given your own name.
That's just a long name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. But you were pilloried on Twitter the other day for saying Bukayo Saka, or Bukayo Saka rather than Bukayo Saka. You see that?
I said the wrong one. Whatever the wrong one is, I said that one.
Yeah. That was me tweeting you.
Because it is, insert here, Saka.
Bukayo Saka.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It took us a huge time before coming into the show to get him to say Maradona rather than Maradona.
Yeah. He was just saying Madonna.
Yeah, I know.
He kept singing Like a Prayer.
Yeah. Right, gentlemen, it's time for a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This week on Stakhanov.
One Direction's Liam Payne was in the studio talking to Jack Mate's Happy Hour about life as a global pop star. with untold stories about his time on The X Factor, life in the world's biggest boy band and going solo, this one is not to miss.
I was part of this massive machine and I knew my part in the machine very well. So I knew what I was doing every day. But then when that machine falls away and you're in the world and the world's just happening around, like, where do you fit?
You can catch the full episode on Spotify. If that doesn't tickle your fancy, on this week's Football Ramble Presents, Kate and Jim sat down with former Chelsea, Juventus and England striker and football legend Enya Luko to discuss her storied career and her autobiography, They Don't Teach This.
Whether it's racism, whether it's bullying, whether it's sexism, often these behaviours are silent. They're not always something that's said. It's a feeling, it's a set of behaviours by a group of people towards you that makes you feel incredibly isolated.
You can hear more from Enya Luko with Football Ramble Presents on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
If it was me, I would say I tried to score that goal and would be candidate to the Puskas Awards.
He's always thinking, isn't he? He's always got the trophies on his mind. Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's time for some emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com right now. So Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Alex Howson has emailed in. Hi, Ramblers. Hi, Alex. Mm. Continuing on from yesterday's chat about Tina Turner, I wanted to point you in the direction of PSV Eindhoven as they too walk out to this corker at home games. Black and white video montage of club greats scoring legendary goals for PSV plays on the big screens, soundtracked by epic orchestral music. A dramatic countdown begins, the music reaches its climax, and dun, 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 we're simply the best as the teams emerge from the tunnel. My best mate from school is Dutch and a lifelong PSV fan. He did not prepare me for this walkout spectacle when we first went to watch PSV together. I can still remember my slow head turning. He's written my slow head. My slow head turned towards him and my, what the fuck is this? He's not been able to live it down. Anyway, great show, guys. And as a fellow Ashted native.
Oh, hello. Marcus, hello.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying hearing the village being slated every so often on the show. Keep it up.
I've never slated.
What if it's a glorious glorious little town in the middle of leafy Surrey?
Full of slugs. Yeah.
The worst thing to come out of Ashted is Marcus.
But he's out now, isn't he?
Yeah. I was going to say, I left and they're loving it.
Curry House number 3, can't beat it.
Not there anymore.
I know, sadly.
How do you know that? Did I tell
you
that?
You told me about it.
Oh, did I? Yeah. Great shame.
What's the best thing about Ashted now, then?
Where I used to live.
Yeah. Is that right?
Has he got a blue plaque?
The blue plaque.
Yeah. And that tells its own story about what Ashton's like.
Actually, I think there is Alex Stewart, I think, used to live in there.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if he still does live in Ashton. There was a few celebs around there.
Well, it's not a huge distance from Chelsea's training ground, is it?
No, not that far. No, I don't think any Chelsea players live in Ashton.
Okay, right.
I did hear a member of Little Mix moved into Ashton at some point.
There you go. Hey. Marcus, his wicked whispers are back.
Apparently.
Why did he rub his hands when he said that?
I don't know. Just the tick he's got.
Your man from The Clash. Was it Joe Strummer, I think, used to go to school?
Yeah, he's from a very well-to-do background, wasn't he, Joe?
Well, I think he went to the posh private school there.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense.
By the way, you're talking of Tina Turner or simply the best and PSV coming out to that. Obviously, Rangers mentioned they come out to that. Last night, when Rangers played Benfica, and they were pegged back again.
Yeah.
They let them back in. When they scored their first goal, bloody Wickfield, Saturday night.
Love it. Not even Saturday, is it?
I was like, what is that about?
Confusing.
I couldn't know. I was like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
My goodness, yeah. That shows you, though. I'll tell you what, Rangers.
Did anyone do the dance? Remember there was a dance?
Yeah, they didn't do the dance.
Do you remember the dance? There was a dance to it.
It was a
hallmark of absolute stalwart of school discos all over the country.
Was it the precursor to the Macarena, or was it around the same
around
time?
Around the same time, I think. Yeah. It was all the rage. Yeah. All the rage.
We'll demonstrate after.
Patreon exclusive.
Yeah, socially distanced.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'll be at home and Marcus will be doing it here.
Separate homes.
Yeah. Oh dear. I've got an email here from Alex Gray. Says, hello. Just to say that at the mighty Stafford Rangers of the Northern Premier League, Tina Turner's Simply the Best was used into the noughties, if not the next decade too. As a kid, I vividly remembered they'd played Simply the Best if we'd won, and heaven knows I'm miserable now by the Smiths if we lost. Happy days. Love that.
Famous for which player? Stafford Rangers.
What, famous players?
Famous for one certain player more than any other.
Steve Bull.
Stan Collymore started out at Stafford Rangers.
Were they professional?
I don't know, but we've already covered Stan Collymore on non-league games, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So one.
That's a lot for you, actually.
Oh, dear me. Well, thank you very much for your emails there, people. What walkout music have you heard at football stadiums? Any you pick yourself? Do get in touch.
And we're just going to get loads of emails, people saying that's that Eminem song, aren't we? Lose Yourself.
Who plays that?
No one. But people will just suggest
quite a few,
that.
Quite a few.
Do they?
But yeah,
it's so overrated. Like, people, it's, all he does is, in my mind, it's just going, spaghetti. No spaghetti.
Yeah.
No, lots of spaghetti.
And then I threw it up.
Yeah.
And it's on me. What are you going to say about me?
I know.
Go on, slag me off. You can't, can you? Give us a chance.
It's like the world's oldest man, but an Eminem's quite old as well. So
he's older than us. Yeah.
Just lots of people really vibe with that song, don't they, for some reason?
Yeah, yeah. He's bigger now. He gets bigger every year.
Actually,
that's strictly not true at all, is it?
When Eminem came back, the thing that was most disconcerting is that he had literally a David Brent goatee beard.
Yeah.
And we always thought of him as being bleached blonde.
Mm.
It's kind of a weird juxtaposition, I thought. Juxtaposition record.
He is a musician who you can tell has lost his sound and can't quite rediscover it.
To be fair, I mean, he did produce rather a lot of music before that.
Yeah, rather a lot.
Yeah.
Was it big in Ashton, Eminem?
Oh, he was.
Yeah. Did he do any gigs there?
Nobody does gigs in Ashton other than me.
Yeah. Does that look quite popular in Ashton? Blonde, blue eyes?
Not at the moment, no. Right. Well, naturally, yes, of course.
Yeah.
But there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Let's move on from this nonsense and talk about Everton versus Leeds. It should be a good one. Bielsa's been nominated for the Men's Manager shortlist for the FIFA Football Awards for 2020.
I'll tell you what, the amount of gammons online who were fuming about that was amazing.
Were they?
What's he ever done? What's he ever done? What's he done? Dean Smith. What about Dean Smith? What about Chris Wilder?
To be fair, Wilder's a good
manager.
Yeah. Dean Smith, I mean, I wouldn't have Dean Smith in there because, you know, Villa, he kept them up in the league and they've improved the season.
Yeah.
But Wilder?
I'll tell you what, these days, just for being English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's graceful, isn't it? Yeah,
I know what you mean. Yeah. Chris Wilder, party liaison, did do a brilliant job last season. But
it'd be great if he does spend 7 years at Sheffield United.
Yeah, it would be fantastic.
Dear. What do we fancy for this one, though? I mean, Everton, they got their win against Fulham last week, of course. Leeds could do with a bit of a result, Vish. Both sides have got goals in them. They've also got Ricks in them.
Yeah, this feels like a bit of an acid test for Leeds, doesn't it? Because they should have got something out of the Arsenal game. Mm-hmm. They'd be very disappointed for that. Only with that point. And yeah, they, as you say, Everton have got exactly the kind of flaws that Leeds can expose. And you wonder, you know, Allen's had a decent start to his season, but he's someone that they could drag out of position because he's vital to them, not just winning the ball back, but starting anything good as well. And you imagine if Rodriguez is going to start, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine.
Hammers will play, yeah. Sure.
If he's available and fit, yeah.
That's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, no,
yeah.
Well, the manager could choose not to pick him.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting to see what kind of space he finds as well, because, you know, we talk about Leeds being in perpetual motion. How does he figure into that? Is he going to be the calm that kind of is able to exist among that, or is he someone who's going to hurt them, or is he going to be required to do a bit more going towards his own goal? That'd be quite interesting to see. And at the same time, I would back Calvert-Lewin to score a couple of goals as well.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? I mean, the way he's playing, would you back Patty Bamford to score a couple of goals, Luke?
Well, were you impressed with Everton against Fulham? They got pegged back, didn't they? They kind of got a little bit.
Considering, you know, the opposition and the way the game went, I mean, okay, they pounced on Fulham's mistakes and they pressed them well, but I mean, you know, that will happen to Fulham over
again. Fulham came roaring back.
And they did, yeah. I mean, they won 3-2. I mean, it was.
And a missed penalty again.
Yeah. I know what you mean. It's difficult to take something from that game, considering just how poor at times Fulham were defensively. This will be a sterner test because Leeds look more prepped and prepared, as well as, and the points thus far in the league give evidence of that than Fulham. So I don't know. I think I would certainly hope to see goals in this one.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's much science behind this, and so I'm purely going on the eye test and just by watching Leeds and the type of team they are. It feels so they've had. So, The draw against Arsenal was Bish has already mentioned, but they had two quite heavy defeats before that. And then before that, they beat Aston Villa pretty handily. I think they beat them 3-0. It feels to me that the games against Crystal Palace that they lost and the game they lost against, was it Leicester they lost four? They lost four twice in a row. And
I think it was before the international break.
Yeah, I think it was Leicester and Crystal Palace. And both those games, they went behind a couple of goals quite quickly. And it felt like they couldn't quite get a foothold back in the game. Now, I do think Everton are vulnerable in certain areas. And I think particularly given the fact Luca Dean's not going to be available, who's a massively important player for them, they could be vulnerable down that side because it'll be Alex Iwobi will play on the left, won't he? And he played pretty well against Fulham.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But anyway, I do think there's vulnerabilities in both these teams. And it will be a good test of where both are at because they're both capable of amazing performances, but they're also both capable of stinking performances as well. I think it's probably you'd have Everton down as favourites.
You would. Definitely.
They look like they were very, very relieved to get that that Fulham win out the way because obviously they lost a few games before that and they've had a real wobble since kind of the start of October. So look, it's hard to predict, but I think Everton will be favourites, and I think if Everton start well, they've got a very, very good chance. I do.
Yeah. Well, Fulham themselves are away to Leicester on Monday night, which you wouldn't hold too much hope for because, I mean, Leicester love hitting teams on the break and the way Fulham play. They do leave the back door open, don't they, Vish?
It could be. I mean, that might be the way to go. I don't know if Fulham would be able to pull this off, but stand off them. I was at Leicester-West Ham when West Ham beat them pretty comfortably in the end. Leicester had all the ball. They couldn't really do anything with it because West Ham were just like, well, you know, make us do something.
I think that's still one of the sort of more outstanding results this season, actually. It came out of nowhere. Mind you, we should say Leicester through in the Europa League. Great entertaining game in Braga. Vardy scoring a 95th minute. See, that to me, that's the reason why you watch the games with the crowd noise turned off.
Yeah.
Because you heard those cheers and celebrations and Kasper Schmeichel.
I'm fed up with
Kasper Schmeichel's got a mouth on him, hasn't he?
Effingham blind, and he was.
Jules Breach of Leicester City.
You only slag off Jules when she's not here.
Yeah, of course, he's terrified.
She is terrified.
You like a little sweary word, though.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Sorry, but good laugh folly there.
Yeah, yeah, when we talk about games like Everton Leicester or whatever, it's that's a cricket analogy though, because in football
you get the double meaning.
No, but in football, a half volley is notoriously hard to control.
Well, let's not get into volley half volley debate again.
No, okay, fine.
Yeah, but it's an inviting one to hit though.
Everton and Leeds. I'm just going to say very, very quickly. It's very hard to tell this season, more than any other season, which teams are going to be good and which teams aren't. I mean, you know, even Liverpool, who have been decent recently, they're only five games since they got whooped 7-2 by Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. It's only really Spurs and Chelsea who've got any sort of form, I suppose, and Southampton actually, who've got any sort of form to go on, really. And you never know what's going to be around the corner, certainly for a team like Southampton. I mean, they're a good team this season, the best Premier League Southampton team we've seen probably ever. But if it's not too early to say that. But I don't think it's a difficult argument to make that they could go on a run where they don't win a few.
Of course, so,
and you could say that about every team, really, apart from, at the moment, Chelsea and Spurs and Liverpool. So Everton and Leeds, well, we don't know what to expect because you could expect anything.
Yeah,
you know, these teams, have in their last six games, Everton have won two, drawn one, lost three, and Leeds have won one, drawn two, and lost three. So it's very inconsistent by its very nature.
And I think Everton fans would be delighted, though, after nine games, you know, they'd be 4 points off the top. And Southampton would be delighted to be 3 points off the top at this moment in time. But you're absolutely right. When Southampton, they face Manchester United this weekend. I mean, now you would expect that to be a home win, though, wouldn't you, Vish?
It's a sort of game that May United will just go and win 1-0, though.
Yeah.
You just don't know, do you?
Danny Ings not being there is a big plus. But yeah, they didn't play. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer didn't play Donny van de Beek against West Brom last week, despite the fact that if you're going to play him in any game, if you're going to ingrain him from the start in any Premier League game, surely it would be against a team like West Brom. He impressed in midweek in the Champions League. I think personally he should play against Southampton alongside Fred in that midfield base, because I think when you're playing Southampton, you play a very clever system, you need clever players. You don't just need players who have the energy to run around and stomp whatever the opposition are going to do, and I think Donny van de Beek gives you that option as well.
Freeing up Fernandes.
Yeah, well, to a point, but then Fernandes does get through a lot of graft, actually.
He does.
Defensively. And I just think that this is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, I'm going to it, so I'm quite
looking
forward to
that. Make it a bit more interesting.
Well, it's just nice to go to a big ground at St. Mary's, you know, someone with rich history.
You're embarrassing yourself. Yeah. If people hear that in isolation, they're going to think this guy's annoying.
It is a fairly new stadium, to be fair. As loath as I am.
And it's a dump.
Unbelievable.
I've only said it to wind you up. I might as well just kicked you in the shin. Not made a dent.
For future reference, you could just say, Luke, do you want to do a bit on Southampton? And I'll get myself wound up. It's fine.
But the other side to it is that a lot of the criticism that has been levelled at Solskjaer has been because people see managers like Ralf Hasenhüttl, mm-hmm. who has been able to make a tangible change to the way a team plays and, you know, put in a system that is the envy of a lot of big clubs mm-hmm. here. And I know Chelsea are on a good run there, but I reckon even Chelsea fans would have thought, God, we want some of that. Imagine that system with the players that we have. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, while there was talk, and, you know, certainly talk that I've purveyed of needing to get rid of Solskjaer and with the idea that, Pochettino would be the man to slot in, if there is going to be any kind of long-term change mm-hmm. Much further down the line, then, you know, Hasenhüttl was the kind of manager really you should be looking at, a visionary in that regard and mm-hmm. someone who, you know, you do want to see... with greater resources, what he can do.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with the Chelsea comparison, because Southampton play this 4-4-2, don't they? And the forward players that Chelsea have brought in are kind of well suited to that three out front.
I don't mean specifically, but having the capacity to do that.
Right. Okay.
Working with the players, I think the key
in this game to me, I mean, I might be held up as a complete idiot come Sunday or whenever the game is being played. Is it Sunday?
Why not?
I think it is Sunday. Sunday 2:00. Is how Maguire and whoever plays alongside him, as talk, it's going to be Tuan Zebi, deal with Adams and Walcott, because Walcott will play up for the middle because Ings is injured. Che Adams, as we talked about before earlier this week, has really started to settle into Premier League life now, and he is an absolute handful.
Yeah,
and I think it's one of those afternoons for the defense, for Man United's defence, where they're going to have a lot of different challenges to deal with, because Southampton are confident, they'll be at home, they've got different ways of attacking you, and they've got a big threat from set pieces as well. So it's going to be a proper thorough examination of Man United, and it'll be more than any other time I can think of. I mean, you can't really think of a time when Southampton have had a better chance of beating Man United than this.
Yeah.
I mean, that puts it in perspective. I think it'll be a fascinating game.
Mm. West Brom caused United a lot of problems last week.
Every team causes Man United problems when they apply themselves. There's a certain element, there's a hangover here of the fact that it's Man United. And that won't last forever. Like it's dissipating season by season.
I think it's already gone, to be honest. I think it's just something we assume because we hear the name. But I think teams, and certainly behind closed doors, that reverence has gone.
No more reverence.
All right. On that note, we are very reverent towards Betway's Four to Score, because it's now time for that. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is absolutely free. Each week you pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Marcus, you are up first. You still going up there first, stepping up there earlier.
Yep.
You're stepping up there now, even though you're on a bad run. You've got Chelsea v Spurs on Sunday. Tea time, what have you gone for?
I've gone for Timo Werner.
Tim Werner, as Bishop calls him. sounds like he's like some kind of Silicon Valley entrepreneur, Tim Werner, doesn't he?
Yeah, I've gone for him.
Okay, Timo Werner, the first goal scorer, Chelsea Spurs. Decent shout, I think. Game two is Arsenal v Wolves on Sunday night, and we've got Kate picking this one. Here's what she had to say.
So yes, the Mighty Wolves travel to Arsenal on the weekend. Big game for both sides, with aspirations of finishing in the top six this season. Had to give this one a fair bit of thought. Looking at that Pedro Neto tap-in from their game against Southampton, could he be the man to score? Also, Daniel Pedence looking dangerous in the box. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, of course, scored the winner against Manchester United, the last goal, that is, for Arsenal in the Premier League. Plenty of things to consider in this game, and of course I've ultimately gone for Raul Jimenez. Yep. Raul Jimenez is my pick.
There we go. It's a long build up, wasn't it? It was an Andy Brassel-esque build up.
Why was she headbutting her mic?
I don't know. Yeah, she was. We need to talk about that. We need to get the production team onto her mic skills. Last week we had Jules in the freezer. She sounded like she was in a freezer. Andy went on like a Greek tragedy. And then we've got Raul Jimenez. I'm giving Andy pelters, aren't I?
You really are.
He don't mind. So that's Raul Jimenez for Kate's pick. Vish, you have Leicester City v Fulham, which is Monday tea time. Don't like that.
No, nor do I, actually. It's good holiday time, but not...
Yeah.
Not the start of December. I am going to go... Well, I'm going to call an audible here because I've written James Maddison.
Okay.
And I've going to go Jamie Vardy.
Oh, you changed it.
I think that Jimenez talk has got in my head. I was like, why overcomplicate it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Okay, so you've gone for Vardy.
I'm going to go
for Vardy. I'll amend the paperwork accordingly. Please while I'm do, doing this, yes. Right? This is live. Okay, game four, West Ham v Aston Villa is mine. It's Monday, 8 o'clock. I've gone for Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, I think he's a great player. I think he's been ready for the Premier League for some time. He's shown that he can score goals at this level. West Ham are a little bit inconsistent, I think. I know Hilaire scored a beauty the other day. Mm. Looked like he was pretty angry about it as well.
Yeah, he would be.
But I'm going to go for Ollie Watkins. A bit of a mid-table clash, that one. So, in summary, Timo Werner, Raul Jimenez, Jamie Vardy, Ollie Watkins. If all those players score first in those games, we will win the weekly £50,000 jackpot, which, of course, we'll give to charity. But if you do it with your own players, you could win at least a share of that 50 grand. So do go to Betway's 4to-score to play. It's completely free. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, head to begambleaware.org. All right, now it's time for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, Luke's game. And in the blue corner, the people's champ, the reigning champ.
Oh,
The number one seed, the best Luke's game player in the world. It's Marcus Speller.
Good evening, good evening, good evening.
And in the other corner, it's Fish.
Right,
he's got his notepad out, though. He means business.
Yeah.
I'm just going to write profanity all over it.
Luke's game.
Show the camera as well.
I'll give you a player. You have to bid for how many of his clubs you can name. There'll be no reputation, no wrong answers. You get a point.
There'll be plenty of wrong answers.
There might well be. Listen, you know, I need to go for it. People know how it works. To be successful in this game, ultimately, though, you need fire in your belly.
Head in the freezer.
There we go. Fish, where's the enthusiasm? We're going to practice that afterwards. Fire in the belly, head in the freezer. Vish, you're the challenger, so you get to go first, my friend.
Come on, Vish.
Yeah.
Look, come on. Hey.
Have we got... sorry, I just got something coming through to my ear. Have we got a live correspondent from Marcus Mount? No, the connection's down. Yeah. But it's buzzing, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always all kicking buzzing off. Yeah. And the thing is, Marcus Mount, they're very friendly to the challengers because they recognise, as I do, that if Vish, you know, he's come in here and he beat me before and he's done all right, but he's gone away tail between his legs last time. Use me as your example. Think of the amount of times Andy Brassel beat me.
Yeah.
Okay, and I came roaring back and now I'm sat here the champion.
Think how many times Marcus has avoided Andy Brassel since he became champion.
Do you know what I mean? Like, no, I beat him last week.
You did actually, yeah.
Right.
You did.
Sorry, I'm just getting distracted from the wave of Rule Britannia coming.
Yeah, exactly.
The good lads up there.
Exactly.
I will be very proud of you if you beat me. What I'm saying is, you can't win, Darth.
Yeah. some early gamesmanship, and that's part of the game.
I know,
it's part of the game. So look, a quick game is a good game here.
Oh, yes.
We've got fire in our belly. We have our heads in the respective freezers. The first player is Vish's honour because he's the challenger. He's played for 8 clubs in total. That's he retired in 2018.
Ooh.
It's Patrice Evra.
Patrice.
Ooh.
That is a tricky one.
I was surprised to hear 8. I'll be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's tricky. That's Tricksville, Tennessee.
Hmm. I agree. Can I have an opening bid, please?
Come along, Vishals.
My opening bid is going to be 3.
3?
Okay. Marcus, what do I have from you?
I'd like him to name his 3.
Do you have 3?
Genuinely struggling.
I'll tell you what.
Hey, could be an early lead here. I saw his eyes go. He's thinking, hang on a minute.
If this is a tactic, yeah. It's a controversial one from the champion. Yeah, okay, yeah. 3 clubs that Patrice Evra has played for. If you don't mind, Vish, one at a time.
Monaco.
There you go.
Manchester United. Juventus.
Easy peasy. Easy peasy. 1-0.
There we go.
See, you feel better now, don't you?
Started his career at Marsala, then went to Monza, then Nice, Monaco, Man United, Juventus, Marseille, and finished at West Ham for his 8th club.
Oh, he did. Do you know what? West Ham went through my mind. I thought, nah, surely he didn't.
Only played 5 league games for them, apparently. The second player coming up now, Marcus, you get to go first. He's played for 10 clubs in total.
Oh, that's a lot.
He retired just last year.
Uh-huh.
It's Peter Crouch.
Oh, Gordon Bennett. Crouchy. I go 7.
7's very good.
Well, I have to be up there because I'm worried about Vish.
Okay, Vish, can you? I mean, in the unlikely event you can bid 8, please do so.
Right, it's gonna go 7.
He's got 7. You either got 8 or you tell him to name him. Or you can get 9 if you want, I suppose. Got nothing to stop you doing that. Or 10.
Oh, he's got 7.
He's gone 7, yeah.
So I can go 8, couldn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you said 7.
You know what? Oh, God, what am I going to do? What am I? Tushina Hantaraja. If I keep saying my name, I'm taking time.
Come on.
You know what? I'm going to go 8.
Okay. Marcus, 9?
You're going to go 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, 8 is a lot.
It is a lot. I'm trying to think.
I don't know what the highest ever successful bid on this game is, but I mean, 8 would be right up there.
Yeah.
Are you going to throw the initiative back to him? Could be 2-0.
I know it could be,
against the champ.
8 clubs. Yeah, but I think he's got the 8. Haven't you, Vish?
He's not looking at you. He won't look at you. He's like Hector Salamanca. He won't look at you.
Yeah. Go on then, do 8.
Ooh, okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Let me add a little bit of spice.
8 clubs for Peter Crouch. Go ahead, one at a time, please.
Queen's Park Rangers.
Correct.
Stoke City.
That's correct. That's 2.
Liverpool.
3.
Tottenham Hotspur.
4.
Southampton.
5.
Portsmouth.
6.
Aston Villa.
7.
Now then. Number 8.
You've got to name it.
7's not enough. You round it up, can you? Number 8.
He's got it. He's stolen. This is all.
No, genuinely.
Come on.
I've got 7. I thought I'd figure it out.
You need to guess 8 then. You need to guess an 8.
Come on. You've got to push him harder than this.
You've got to guess an 8 for I'm just going to call it wrong.
Right. My 8th team are going to be.
Come on.
Oh, fucking hell. I'm losing my mind here. Coventry City.
Afraid not. You could have had Burnley.
Mm hmm.
Or Norwich City.
Norwich City. Ah! Norwich City was the one.
Spent some time alone. And he also spent some time alone at IFK Hasselholm as well.
Could have had them.
up in Sweden. So that is Marcus's point because Coventry City is incorrect. Okay, next one up, Vish. You're up first. He's also played for 10 clubs. He retired in 2012. If you get these 10, I'll give you the money myself. it's Torre André Flo.
Oh.
10 clubs for him.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw that come up.
10 bloody clubs!
10 clubs.
No way.
I need an opening bid from you, please, Vish, because a quick game is a good game.
2.
2? Okay, Marcus, do I hear 3 from you? It's 1 all at the moment.
I'll flipping have to go 3, won't I? Because I know he's got 2.
4?
No.
So 3 for you, Marcus. Okay. Torre André Flo. 3 clubs he's played for of the 10. He retired in 2012. Underrated striker, I think. Not many people talk about him now, but I thought he was a good player.
Uh-huh.
3 clubs, please, 1 at a time.
Chelsea.
That's correct.
Rangers.
That's also correct.
And I'll go for... There's an obvious club I'm missing here that Vish, you know, he's thinking he's... I'll go for... what was the side he played for? I'll go Rosenberg.
Afraid not. That's Vish's points. 2-1 to Vish. Sogndal is where he started. Went to Tromso, Brann, Chelsea, Rangers, Sunderland.
Ah, Sunderland.
Siena, Vallarenga, Leeds United.
Oh, I didn't remember
MK
that.
Dons, and then ended his career where it all started, back at Sogndal.
Did you have Chelsea and Rangers?
Yeah. If I hadn't gone first, I think I would have been screwed.
You're on match point, brother, you see.
That's how it goes. 2-1. And it's now time for Marcus to go first. This player's played for 9 clubs in total.
Oh, man.
He retired in 2014. It's Kevin Phillips.
K-Phil.
Nine you can go for. How many do you bid?
I will go for... Fish is looking confident. Oh, I don't know. 5.
Okay. Fish, do I hit 6?
No, name me 5.
Okay, 5. 1 at a time, Marcus. For 2 all, it's in your hands now.
It is. Sunderland.
That's correct.
Derby County.
Ooh.
Have I got it wrong?
You say Derby County?
Fish is the champion.
Derby County?
I've got it wrong. Look at that.
The Dushan had the
right there he goes. Wins. Well done, brother.
And in an interesting plot twist,
yeah,
Vish had also written Derby County.
I'm amazed he didn't play for Derby County.
Because no, he coached them, didn't he? He didn't play. This is what messed with my mind.
I had Leicester, Leeds,
he started his
Villa.
He started his career at... he didn't play for Leeds either, by the way.
Oh, I would have got that one. A worthy loser.
He started his professional career at Watford,
yeah,
Sunderland, Southampton, Villa, West Brom, Birmingham, Blackpool, Crystal Palace, Leicester City. The final player, Vichy, could have gone first. It's for a chance to go 4-1. He played for six clubs in total. Dennis Wise, very quickly.
Wisey.
How many for Dennis Wise?
Oh, blimey.
Ooh, Dennis Wise, I'm going to go 3.
Could you do any more than 3?
I don't know, I can't. Vichy's on form here.
Go on.
Chelsea.
That's correct.
Millwall.
That's correct.
Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah. Yes, look at that. Wimbledon. A worthy winner.
4-1.
You see, you were worried.
Yeah.
Why were you worried? There it goes.
Wimbledon, Chelsea, Leicester, Millwall, Southampton, Coventry City. In the unlikely event you would have selected the short time he spent in 1985 at Grebbestad's IF in Scandinavia, you would have been wrong because they're not a pro team. So there we go.
You see that? There's a lot of respectful applause from Marcus Mount right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It turns out...
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
You have. You have got the facilities for that.
You know what I love about this? It feels like nothing.
You're the champion. You're the champion,
you just
mate.
Said it feels like nothing.
Right. Yeah. I'll just get you up for it again.
Dushan Hantaraja wins!
How do you feel about that?
You know, this is why he won't be the people's champion.
No, exactly.
Ever.
I'm going to be a heel. I'm going to be the heel. I'm the Triple H of Luke's game.
You're like Nick Kyrgios. This is like Nick Kyrgios winning Wimbledon. Disgraceful. He's the champion though, Marcus. How do you feel?
Do you know
it's
what?
It's a nice reign for you.
Look, I've very much enjoyed it. I wish Vish all the best. Yeah. And as I said, you know, I'm very proud that he learned from me.
Hmm. I am going to disgrace this crown. I cannot wait.
Well, we'll see what happens next. It does get shared around. I mean, Andy's been champ, Kate's been champ, you've been champ, Marcus, Jim.
Jim.
Five of you have been champs already, I think.
Yeah, it's only...
Pete's not been a champ.
No.
Nor has Jules, and I can't be, so...
Well, there
unless
are.
I challenge you, Vish.
Oh. You know what? As the champ, I can tell you now, you're not missing anything.
Oh,
unbelievable.
It's disgraceful, isn't it?
It's a shame.
He's
great,
not going to be a popular champion, is he?
No, definitely not. No. There we are, ladies and gentlemen.
It's like Lance Armstrong winning the tour.
Thank you.
I haven't got nine in me.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show sponsored by Betway. There we are, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the football this weekend. And thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for Tushin Hantaraja.
Call me champion.
The champion. Champion. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.